Right. All right, let's see here. Hello, everyone. I'm going to be putting together like an intro and a few other things just because I like music and other things to really help with that. So, but anyway, so I'm going to do that. But I want to show you what song I'm thinking about using. I don't exactly agree with the man that sung it, but it's a good song and his words are very good, very positive. And very effective. I'll see if you can hear it here. Let me see. Where's my speaker at on this? There it is. All right. While we're waiting for some folks to get on, I'll do this here. The words of this song are amazing and true, by the way, especially if you understand spiritual warfare. I know Luther wrote it. It's a good song.
Christ Jesus is here.
I love it. So I like that song. Here's another one I want to play that I like too. It's one of my favorite songs, actually. I think it's this one right here. Let's see.
Yeah, that's called "O for a Thousand Tongues to Tell" by Charles Wesley, who is one of the greatest hymn writers, in my opinion, ever. And just wonderful hymns. And I'll be bringing a lot of those to you in and out of when we get things. It won't be by cell phone, though. I'm going to have Wirecast and everything hooked up. It's just going to take a little while. I'll give you kind of an update on how I'm going to do this. Yeah, the songs are beautiful, aren't they? I love them. I honestly like hearing strong men's voices sing loud and sing powerful and strong with instrumentals. I like that a lot. I really do. I think it's important because we need men to do that today. So
Anyway, but we will be working on that in the weeks to come here to get everything down where we need it to be. Now, I'll have Wirecast. I'm actually going to have a different setup. I've got a big, huge tower that we've had for a little while. It was made into a gaming type of a tower. I mean, it wasn't really for gaming, though. It was for processing and things like that, for processing large amounts of video and stuff like that. So that what we're going to do is we're going to take that and we're going to use it to be the kind of the strength behind what we're doing as far as the processing part goes, and as far as the streaming part goes, and as far as like the programming and all the other stuff that I do with it. So I'm going to be able to do a lot more with that as time goes by, and I'm looking forward to that and adding the video in that I want, the music in. I'm Andrew and Luke are working on some things now for me to get that set up. It's going to take us a little bit of time. We have to purchase a few things, and you know, we have to get a few things. We're going to get a few storage things that we need, a few things with production that we need to make the lighting and everything better, to make a few things. I even want to set this up actually to where I'm going to set it up through Skype that I will actually be able to interview people. Okay, that's one step. Interview people, other preachers out there, other people out there in the world, things that are going on and stuff like that. The second thing that I'm going to do with that, Lord willing, the next thing that I'm going to do with that is actually be able to have call-ins, to where I can actually have call-ins set up to where some of you will be able to call and you'll be able to call into the program and ask questions and things like that through different things, through different avenues. So that's the goal. That's what we're going to do. It'll take some time to get that all worked out, but we are going to be able to do that, and Lord willing. So it's going to make it a lot better for you, and I want this broadcast to be interactive. And that's the reason I'm doing it. I want it, and I'll have screeners and people for all the other perverts that try to get on and all that kind of stuff. I'll have screeners and everything that'll be able to take care of that when I get to that point. And then I'll be able to screen, they'll screen the call-ins for me. I won't do that every broadcast. It'll just be like once a week possibly that we do that. And maybe I'll save that for Fridays. I don't know yet. I might do it like that, but we'll see how it goes. But I want to be able to do that and kind of be able to touch base with all of you out there at the same time. Now, in the event that YouTube kicks me off, now, Facebook kicked me off today for 7 days. They put me in timeout. And the reason they put me in timeout today was because I shared a memory from, oh, when was it? 3 years ago in 2016. And the memory that I shared, I had this donut. I was out with my wife for our anniversary, which is coming up, by the way, 17 years. And I had this donut in my hand, and it had bacon on it. And I said, guaranteed to keep the moose lambs away. And that's all I said. And it was a joke. You could clearly see it was a joke. And it was a three-year-old joke. And I had my page open instead of on private because I forgot to switch it back. And because I forgot to switch it back, they got me. Somebody got me. Now, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't a bot. I know it wasn't a bot because bots don't know how to spell moose lambs like that, okay? I'm going to tell you it's somebody that hates me. It's somebody that had a run-in with me that's mad at me, that's watching my page. And I have some ideas of a few people who it might be, okay? But I don't really care because I'm going to tell you, they haven't been able to stop me yet. And by God's grace, they won't stop me. Okay, I've had people been trying to stop me from in this ministry that God has called me into
as pastoring and everything else ever since I started. There has always been this opposition to try to shut me down, to try to stop me, to try to get me to shut up. Now, that's the reason why, number one, I want you to like, thumbs up this video, okay? There's 41 people on right now. 13 of you have thumbs up it. Let's get thumbs up it. That's a good word. So let's thumbs up this video. Let's get as many people that are on here. Get that number as close to 40 as we can there. And thumbs up the video. That's one thing that I want you to do. The second thing that I want you to do is, if you haven't sent me your email address, send me your email address and send it to PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Okay? Send me your email address so I have it, because in the event that I'm kicked off of YouTube, which is very likely, I can stay in touch with you and I can email you the link to Sermon Audio. My website will generate that email as soon as I get everything going there. And it'll be a little while. We're working on it right now, okay? But as soon as I do that, then I'll be able to stay in touch with you and I'll be able to let you know when I broadcast. It'll be the same times on Sermon Audio. And Sermon Audio is not going to kick me off for preaching Bible doctrine, okay? That's all I'm doing. I'm not preaching, you know, I'm not preaching anything vile or mean or anything like that. I'm not really. So anyway, but it's kind of funny. So there's 21 of you on here that have liked it so far or thumbs up the video. There's 42 on. Usually we end up with about 80 on, usually 70 to 80 on. So let's see what we can do about that and get that number up there. Share this on your Facebook page, because even though Rain Country, that is me, I am Jay Cooley. I am the other man. I am Jay Cooley. That's my alias, Jay Cooley. And I did send you a friend request. That's me. And I didn't lie, because that's my name, Jay Cooley. Right? So that's, and I even gave him my birthday. So how about that? And I got my picture, my Krispy Kreme hat. The only thing left is my little dog. I need a picture. I'll tell you what, I'll get a picture of me and Buster. And I'll have Buster in my arm, and I'll just hold Buster, and I'll take a picture. Buster. I want to teach Buster to crawl up my arm and sit on my shoulder. I think he can do it. Boy, he's ornery, that little puppy. They say pets take after the attributes of their owners sometimes, so who knows, right? It's okay if you're not on Facebook, because you guys will be able to keep in touch with me through Sermon Audio and through the website. Eventually, we'll stream straight from the website if that's possible. You know, but we'll use that outlet of these other. But, you know, they can't stop you guys from sharing. They can cut me off. But if you're on Facebook or other social media, Twitter, share this link on those. Okay, get that out everywhere. So the truth gets out. Amen. We want it to be out there. So remember, there's 25 that have give the thumbs up. Let's get 26 now. All right, we're moving up, moving in the right direction. 42 people on, 43 people on. It's climbing. Anyway, good. So yeah, I want to develop that program through some other things. So there's a few things that I'm going to purchase. I'm going to have to get for the online ministry for broadcasting online and things to make the broadcast more interesting, okay? And make it better interactive for you guys, too. So that's kind of what I want to do. I want to teach you the Word of God. I want to teach you about the dangers that are going on. I want to teach you about current events and what's happening. And I want to do it 3 times a week. So I've given myself over to study, and I'm probably going to be reading 10 to 20 books this week, 10 to 15 books, skimming through a bunch of them, okay? And not for just you guys, but for the church. I'm expository preaching through the book of Psalms. I just started Sunday with that. Psalm 1:1. Took me an hour and 20 minutes to get through Psalm 1:1. Amen. That was fun. Anyway, and then Acts, the book of Acts. All right? I'm expository preaching through the book of Acts, trying to feed God's people the Word of God. And then these two-hour broadcasts, I use to just let it loose and just deal with current events and get it out of my system, because I got to do it. I got to talk about it, but I don't want to do it in my sermons as much. I mean, I do, but
I want to deal with mostly the Word of God, and then, you know, this is based on the Word of God as well, but it's a little bit for your format, okay? Cindy, I sent you a friend request, you and Troy. I am Jay Cooley, alias Coolio, the white one. And for all of you that are wondering, this is not a foo-foo drink. All right? I'm just going to let you go. Let you know it's not a foo-foo drink. All right? This is nitro coffee with a tad bit of heavy cream in it. Okay? And I did put a little bit of stevia in it, but that's it. All right? So... And I like to have fun, so I like to have fun on these broadcasts, and I want them to be interesting. They're different. They're not sermons. They're different, but there's going to be a time of dedicated teachings, okay, that I do, the teachings of everything else. No, this is from a local coffee shop. We don't have a Tim Hortons here. There's one in Apple Valley, somewhere around there. But, hey, I like coffee, all right? Moon Pie says, yuck, she doesn't like nitro-pressed coffee. Well, come on now. Everybody wonders what I was drinking, so I had to tell you that's what I'm drinking. And water. I drink a lot of water. I drink 100 to 120 ounces of water a day. All right? I drink a lot of water. Helps flush everything. It's good for you. I drink water. What is nitro coffee? Andrea. Or Andrea, whichever one you go through. You don't know what nitro coffee is? Now, my friend, I know that you are in Iowa. Now, I'm from Iowa. Illinois-Iowa border, that is. And I love Iowa. Because Iowa has the best tenderloins, the best home cooking food. But you don't have a lot of coffee in a lot of places. Unfortunately. But you do have the best food. And hey, I love Iowa. In fact, I'm going to Iowa on a Baptist history tour. I drink decaf. Yeah, caffeine, it doesn't bother me. I don't get all jittery and nuts off of it or anything like that. I don't know. It just doesn't bother me. But anyway, cold brew, that's it. And Andrea, it's one step better than cold brew. Carl, I might have tried... No, I tried Armenian coffee. I did not try... Artesian. Sorry, not Armenian. Artesian coffee. I did try that when I was in Kansas City. That was really good. That was really good coffee. It was cold brew. It was really good coffee. Anyway, I like coffee. So, I do. I like coffee. But I like cold brew better. Are you ever going to have guests call in, discuss topics with you? Yes, I will. I absolutely will. Andrea, Caribou sells a nitro press now. They have it in the little machine. So if you have Caribou down there somewhere, they have that. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about coffee, but I am. So that's okay. But this is good. This is from James Gang. Now, the name... Bulletproof coffee. Cindy, I haven't tried it yet, but I want to try it. It's with the butter and all the stuff in there, and it's like, it's really good for you. It's got the good fats in it that you need and all that good stuff. Yeah, I got to try that. MCT oil. I don't know what that is. So, yes, I've drank the energy drinks before, but I can't drink those. They give me like anxiety, not like nervous, like I'm shaking. I don't like the way they just feel fake and gross because they put all those uppers and gross stuff in them. So I try to stay away from that stuff, but I do like drinking coffee, and coffee's good for you when you do some. There's been a lot of studies out. A lot of people say no. A lot of people say yes, but a lot more say yes than no anyway. But, as far as coffee goes, anyway, so yeah, they are bad for you. I don't drink them. They are fake and gross. They taste nasty. And no, Zach, Quick Trip coffee is grody. Okay. It's Grody. All right. All right. Now, I had a few of the members of Old Paths Baptist Church that pop in and on here. I've added them as moderators, if they accept it, that is, and everything. But the reason why is because there's really nasty people that try to come on here and ruin my broadcast. So I've added them on there. The guys that are on there, they pop in, and if they're in, they can kind of moderate it, stuff like that. So it's always a good thing, you know, to keep that down. Anyway, well, listen, remember, like it. There's our thumbs up. There's 31. There's 53 on. We're going to keep going up. It usually goes up to about 80. I'd love to see it up to 100 sometime. That'd be cool. But that's okay. And so thumbs up. Send me an email to keep in touch with me in case YouTube kicks me off. PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Send me that email, PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Send me that and give me your email address so I have it, so I could stay in touch with you, okay? And that I can let you know. All right, Joyce, this is your first time on the chat, huh? Oh, good. Well, it's been relatively clean, so that's good. Hasn't been too bad. All right, let's see here. We're going to get started. Before I get to... before I get to what I want to talk about, by the way, our church's new hymn books came in. Boy, are these hymn books good. They have a ton. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. Good idea, Luke. Good reminder. Luke asked me about if I wanted to talk about the Facebook sermon audio streaming that we're going to do. What we might try to do when the tower gets in, or when we have the tower ready and all that, is streamed to Facebook, YouTube, and sermon audio. So all at once. I don't look for being on Facebook very long because there's a bunch of really big babies there that kick me off like right away. So that's what we want to do. But there are some things that we have to purchase and things we have to do first to get everything going in the direction that we want it to go. So we'll keep you in touch about that. But these hymn books are in, and our church ordered a bunch of these hymn books, and boy, are they good. This is an excellent hymn book. I'm going to show you this. This hymn book right here, I really went over this with the church. This has 1,000 hymns in it, okay? It has the story of the hymns. It has a scripture for almost every line in the hymn. It has a scripture, a biblical scripture to explain the hymn, to back up what's being said. For instance, this one song is called My Savior. I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. Romans 11:33. So it goes, oh yeah, I wouldn't have it if it wasn't King James. Anyway, so and the references are here. You have to look them up in your own Bible. But also the stories of the hymns are in there. Very heavy book, very well made. Very well made. And no, I'm not selling these. All right, I'm not selling these, but I could sell them. I know I could sell them. But this is an awesome book for home. And you can order these through Melody Publications. Melody Publications, you can order these. They are out of Knoxville, Tennessee, melodypublications.com. And I highly, highly recommend them. Highly recommend you order that songbook. It is very heavy. Type in the promo code Coolio and receive nothing. But it is good. It is good. Hey, I weeded out my library. It doesn't look like it back here, but I gave 5 boxes of books to a missionary who I won't name right now. but to a missionary in Africa. Very good friend of mine. We'll talk about him maybe later, sometime. Very good friend of mine. And I've known him for longer than I've pastored this church, ever since about a year after I was saved. And I gave him a bunch of resources to send over there. And we intend by the grace of God to do much more. But I won't talk about that right now. But yes, maybe we will, Luke. That's a good idea. But I'll tell you something. I got a real craving to go preach in Africa. Man, do I ever have a craving to go over there and preach. And maybe the Lord will let that happen sometime. We'll see what happens, but we'll see. Anyway, so I want to read you something. Let me find it here before we get into our study. Man, how is it that I've been on here for a half an hour already? That's why I need 2 hours, because I talk too much. All right. Let me see if I can find it here. All right. I need the Jeopardy music to play while I'm doing this, so then, you know, you guys don't get bored or whatever and tune me out and cut me off and be like, yeah, I'm done with you. Let's see. There is an article here. Let me see if I can find it. I am looking. All right. Let's see. Hold on a second. This is June 5th. What's the date today? This is the 17th. Okay, let me look here. Give me a second. I thought I had it up here, but they kicked me off my Facebook page. So when they kicked me off of it, I lost everything. Doom, 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 doom. All right, let's see here. All right, I'll get it here. This is about a pastor, and that's the reason why I want to show it to you or talk to you about it. Eventually, I'll be able to show it to you, which will be nice. But right now, I can't do that as easy. But I do want to be able to show you this. All right, there is an article. Let's see. There is an article about a pastor that was standing outside of an event. And he was standing outside of this event to preach. And they got so mad at him for standing outside of the wicked, perverted, disgusting event that took place, the drag show at the library, that they arrested this man. They arrested him for standing outside of there and preaching for his freedom of speech. They said that he was obstructing justice or whatever, or not obstructing an officer's duty or whatever. So they arrested him for it. They had SWAT team. They had a SWAT guy on the. They had snipers on the roofs to protect these people. These dragsters there that are perverting these children and telling them stories and everything else. So they censored him. They arrested him. Said he was obstructing an officer or whatever because he wouldn't get off the sidewalk. Now, for some reason, if you can find that article, send it to me. And I'll try to get it on here. I don't know where it is for some reason. Now I can't find it, but I don't want to waste any more time on it. But let me say this. So they did that. Now, I want to give you some advice if you're ever out there and you're street preaching. I highly recommend that you don't stand on the sidewalk entryway to an event. Now, here's the reason why. Number one, you're right at the place of confrontation. You're too close to people. and somebody's going to get hurt. Now, do you have the right to be there? Yes. Is it wise? No. I've been in these situations many a times, and 9 times out of 10, when people are up against the wall with people, they're right at the edge of it with people, they're right there, they end up getting into a fight. So what's, and the cops give them a hard time. However, I have never really had the cops, besides a few times, give me any troubles with street preaching. Except in the beginning when they don't understand it. But I will tell you that when I post up across the street from an event, I never have a problem with people coming over to me to hear the gospel being preached, or to get mad at me, or to see my banners, or to come and want to get mad and angry. Okay? I've never had anybody do that. Okay? But when you stand, yeah, except RoboCop, right? There's a place for you to protest down there. Yep, I know. So anyway, but they get angry when you're right up. The police will get upset with you when you're right up on them. Not because, but when they see that you're posted up a little ways away, when they see that, then they don't come after you as much. In fact, I've had them defend my rights completely. And the reason why, they're like, look, this guy didn't come up to the gate. He's not standing there yelling in your face. He went over here. No, it's not a free speech zone. I don't obey free speech zones. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about doing that. I'm talking about not being up on a line right against people where your face is like this. Somebody's going to get into a fight. I'm talking about using wisdom, backing off a little bit, going away from that, and getting the overflow of the crowd that's listening to you as they leave or come into the event. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what's legal. I'm talking about what is expedient and what is wise. If you want to start a fight, then get up in somebody's face. You're going to get one. It happens. Somebody slips. Somebody hits somebody. No, stay back. Now, there are 1,000 street preachers that'll disagree with me on that. But they're always in trouble. They're always having run-in with the cops. And they're always have people being angry with them. People are angry with me, too. But because I'm posted up away, a little bit away, and I preach to the out crowd, and I'm not trying to scream over everybody else that's right up at the gate, I don't have that problem. And guess what? You know what the cops do? They go up to those people that try to stop us, and they go, you guys stop it right now. These guys went over here. They're not in your space. They went over to a different place to preach. They got the people coming in here. You have the right to be over there. Nobody made you come over here. You get going if you don't want to listen to what they have to say. That's what happens. Almost every time I've been defended. Almost every time. Why? Because using wisdom. Oh, I'm sorry. I wish you had your real name on there. It feels weird to call somebody hot bombs. I'm too old school, I guess. I don't want. Anyway, pastor jailed during a drag queen story hour. Thank you, Luke. Luke sent me that article. SWAT team snipers positioned atop library roofs. A Baptist pastor was arrested and jailed on Saturday after refusing to move across the street from the Spokane, Washington Public Library while exercising his free speech against a drag queen story hour. Now, again, I'm not saying this pastor was wrong for being there or for standing there even. I'm saying it may not be always wise to do that. The event had significant militaristic police presence, including camouflage snipers positioned atop the roof to oversee the large crowd that stood both for and against the men dressed like women, reading stories to children. Afson Yogton, a New Covenant Baptist church, was arrested for obstructing an officer as he contended with police that the South Liberty Library is public property and that he should be able to speak adjacent to the facility instead of being required to stand across the street. I think he's right. He might even win. But you still get arrested. You still got to go through all that. They might drop the charges, which more than likely they will, but you still got to go through it. Wisdom is not to have to go through that. And if you're really there to preach to people, you're going to get the overflow. I'm telling you, when you stand there with a banner that says, God hates pride, repent, believe the gospel, Jesus died on the cross for sinners, was buried, rose again, that all those things, people are going to come over and be like, why are you here? I'm here to preach the gospel because there's people here that need to be saved. See what I mean? That's the difference. Okay, I won't go on to read this, but seriously, there's snipers on the roof for a bunch of drag queens. So you're protecting a bunch of drag queens, like little perverts holding kids on their laps. By the way, the parents, the drag queen said the parents are more excited than the children to see this. Well, duh. If I was a little kid, I'd be creeped out to see you walking up there wanting me to sit on your lap like you're some kind of perverted Santa Claus. Which is already perverted anyway, most of them. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? We'll move on. Anyway, there's quotes that can be said here that if Jesus was here, he'd be on our side. That's what the drag queen people said. Okay. So anyway, sad stuff. All right, let's move on to our teaching here. I don't want to take too much time up with everything else here. I want to get going with our teaching here. Yeah, it's sad. So we are back in contemplative mysticism, but now we are going to deal with the New Age movement. How the New Age movement, contemplative mysticism, and the New Age movement, all right, has infiltrated the churches completely, and the type of prayer that's being taught here. These are New Age prayer practices, all right? Mysticism permeates the New Age. Mysticism is at the very heart and soul of the New Age, from Alice Bailey to Oprah Winfrey. Its gurus have used meditation and other mystical practices to find spiritual enlightenment and power. One of its central teachings is that man is divine and can connect with truth in his inner being through mystical practices, particularly yoga and Zen meditation. Now, what does the Bible say again? The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. This is what we have here. The New Age mysticism being taught today in churches. Alice Bailey taught that the practice of meditation is one of the most important means of recognizing one's own divinity and tapping into the wisdom of the universe. Krishnamurti called meditation one of the greatest arts in life, perhaps the greatest. He described meditation as the ending of thought and the entering of a different dimension, which is beyond time. After years of practicing all-night sessions of meditation combined with fasting, that Levi Dowling allegedly tapped into the Akashic records and wrote the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. Translation? He conjured up devils. That's what he did. Yes, praying circles around your children, same stuff. Same stuff. That is the New Age infiltrating the Lord's churches. To prepare, but what's the end game of it? To prepare the world for that other Jesus, the Antichrist. That other Jesus. Not this same Jesus that the Bible talks about that will come back, but that other one, another Jesus, another gospel. an endless slew of new age organizations, the Silva Method, the Psycho Cybernetics promises personal transformation through mystical practices, power of positive thinking, you've heard of that, and visualization. The New Age believes that its globalistic objectives will be achieved by mindless mystical practices, which allegedly take man to a higher level of consciousness and tap into its divinity. The Eckhart Tolle, right? Him, Eckhart Tolle, is typical of New Age gurus everywhere in his teaching that wisdom comes not through thinking or teaching, but through an experiential awareness of the communication with one inner self. What does he say? In you, as in each human being, there is a dimension of consciousness far deeper than thought. It is the very essence of who you are. We may call it presence, awareness, and unconditioned consciousness. In the ancient teachings, it is that Christ within you, or your Buddha nature. Now, I will say this, that the world has been being prepared. Mysticism is the focus of society in general. Newsweek reported that Americans are looking for that personal, ecstatic experience with God. Leonard Sweet calls it the lust for mysticism as a spiritual tsunami. He describes it as this, although he thinks churches should do it. A spiritual tsunami has hit postmodern culture. This wave will build without breaking for decades to come. The wave is this. People want to know God. They want less to know about God or know about religion than to know God. People want to experience the beyond and the within. Postmoderns want something more than new products. They want new experiences of the divine. Mysticism's focus. In a book called Sound Effects, they're told the pop music is concerned with experience and feeling and is emotional rather than technical. Rock music is a sharing of consciousness, a connection of sensibility beyond the verbal level. Without words, without verbal conceptualization, it is a means of communicating emotion. A cult of irrationality, a reverence for visceral and distrust of reason and logic. Look, the New Age movement is pushing this mysticism, and it's in the churches. We see it in the churches. We see it today more than ever in the churches that it's popular. The New Age practices that people don't even realize are New Age, but they're taking them on, and churches and congregations are falling for some gimmick, some new scheme to build numbers, to grow their ranks, to grow their numbers. So they're thinking of all these schemes instead of getting back to the old King James, the old Bible, and preaching the old book. They're doing everything else. They're preaching everything else, and they're entering in the New Age. They're accepting the New Age. They're accepting the apostasy. That's what they're doing. They're accepting the apostasy that's about us now. Good. Getting some emails in here with email addresses. Continue to send me your email addresses. I appreciate it. And I'll keep adding them to our list and hope to send you out updates during the day. Even when I'm not broadcasting, I'll be sending email updates. I'll be blogging. I'll be trying to stay in touch with you. Okay. So stay in touch. Amen. All right. Let's talk about centering prayer. These are what I call New Age prayer practices, okay? That's exactly what they are. They are New Age prayer practices, and they're being taught everywhere. The first one I want to talk to you about is centering prayer. Centering prayer involves emptying the mind of conscious thoughts about God with the objective of entering into a non-verbal experimental union with God in the center of one's being. Thomas Keating, one of the fathers of the modern centering prayer movement, claims that the simplest way to come into contact with the living God is to go to one's center and from there pass into God. That's creepy. Here's how he describes it. Then we move in faith to God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, dwelling in creative love in the depths of our being. This is the whole essence of the prayer. All the rest of the method is simply means to enable us to abide quietly in this center and to allow our whole being to share in this refreshing contact with this source. savor the silence, the presence. As soon as we move in love to God, present in our depths, we are there. We simply want to remain there and be what we are. We might think of it as if the Lord himself, present in our depths, were quietly repeating his own name, evoking his presence and very gently summoning us to an attentive response. We are quite passive. We let it happen. Stop there for a second. Look what he said. We become passive. We become passive and we let everything happen. My friend, the quickest way to let your mind get inhabited with devils, and I don't mean your soul, but I mean devils to attack you, is to be passive like that. And that centering what they're talking about, that centering what they're talking about is you. They're talking about mysticism. They're talking about occultism. They're talking about New Age chakras, auras. They're talking about getting that dragon out. There's a dragon down there, and it's swirling around down there, and they got to get the dragon out. They got to, and the charismatics call getting the baby out. You got to get the baby out. Yes, Cindy, they are summoning devils. That's exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it in the Lord's churches. Doesn't it sound a lot like 2 Thessalonians? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, for that he as God sitteth in the throne of God, saying he is God. We want immediate contact with God himself and not some thought, image, or vision of him. Open yourself interiorly to the mystery of God's enveloping presence. Our theme is the center. That is the place of meeting the human spirit and the divine spirit. The practice is called this union, this face-to-face encounter, passive meditation. Uh-oh, are you ready for this one? If you do any studies on numbers, you'll understand this real well, or you understand the fourth dimension, you'll understand this real well. A fourth state of consciousness. A fourth state of consciousness. And all I can say is, holy buckets, they're a bunch of witches. That's exactly what they are. They're just a bunch of crazy, psychotic, devil-possessed witches doing their voodoo in the middle of church services, getting little kids. Wait till I share with you what they're doing with children. You think that drag queen stuff's bad? That's wicked as hell. But this stuff is worse than that. It's worse than that because it's more deceptive than that. All right. A fourth state of consciousness, savoring the silence, this nothing, the deep waters of silence, deep tranquility. Centering prayer requires entering into a non-thinking mode. By the way, is it me, or does that sound stupid? Who in the world thinks it's a wise idea to just take your mind and be like, I mean, who thinks that's a wise idea to do that with your brain, to stop thinking? That is about the craziest thing in the world to tell people. Just stop thinking. Sounds like that guy that kept saying pookie poo all over the place. Remember that guy? Nobody can say pookie poo without laughing. It makes you laugh. But anyway, remember that guy? Remember that charismatic guy? Pookie poo. I can't say pookie poo. I'll be ruined. Sorry. I'm just thinking about that. He goes, I can't say pookie poo. I'll be ruined. Nobody ever listened to me. And he kept saying pookie poo on that video. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Sometimes it's funny. It's not, but it is in some ways. All right. All right. That's right, Wax Cat. You guys got to quit it with these names. I'm trying to say stuff with a straight face, and you got a name like Wax Cat. That's right, Wax Cat. Exactly. Oh, man. You don't understand. Like, I have to fight. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Wax Cat. I didn't know you made candles. No, okay. I have to fight, like, laughing at stuff too much and, like, doing that, okay? I have to fight that. I do my best not to do that. Oh, I believe you, and that's good. I was just... Anyway, whatever. But I'll keep going, all right? Oh, brother. Anyway, it's just... I mean, who walks up to somebody and says, empty your mind? Don't have a mind at all. Hey, just do nothing with your mind. It's like playing catch with your mind. There's one on this end, there's one on this end. Woo! And they just throw a ball to each other and there's nothing in the middle. That's about the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Anyway. So let me keep going here because we're about to the top of the hour here, so I better get moving. All right. Do all in your power. Wait, centering prayer. Right. Empty your mind. The blind experience of contemplative love, this darkness, this nothingness, this nowhere. All I know is God says if you put your mind like that and you go to those dark, doleful areas, the devil's going to come in because the devil likes darkness, and he's going to come and he's going to pick on you like you wouldn't believe. He's going to mess with your brains and he's going to mess with your heart and you're going to have a bunch of devils attacking you. That's the dumbest thing you can do. Don't ever empty your mind. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Meditate on the Bible. They say, do all in your power to forget everything else. Keep your thoughts and desires free from involvement with any of God's creatures or their affairs, whether in general or in particular. Pay no attention to them. Thought cannot comprehend God. Did you hear what they just said? Did you hear what I just said? They said thought cannot comprehend God. Again, remember what we talked about before? They want you to deal with feelings. They're wanting you to deal with feelings. Obey and follow your feelings. Follow your feelings. Why? Because there's going to be many signs and lying wonders, and the devil's going to be using the senses against God's people and definitely against the lost. So by doing that, what's going to happen is if you follow your feelings, you're going to fall right over the cliff. They're so deceptive. Feelings are so deceptive. That's why I spend most of my day ignoring them and focusing on the duties that God has for me. You have to. You absolutely have to, friend. So then you must reject all, listen to this, dismiss all thought, right? Thoughts cannot comprehend God. And so I prefer to abandon all I know, choosing rather to love him whom I cannot know. By love, he may be touched and embraced, never by thought. In the real contemplative work, you must set all aside and cover it over with the cloud of forgetting. I got some verses for you. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You're not to empty your mind. You're to be filled with the mind of Christ. You're to have the mind of Christ. What are you supposed to think about? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Right? All right, everybody. I'm going to tell you, start hitting that thumbs up button. We're trying to push this around, push this algorithm around. Also, send me your email at pastorcooley@icloud.com to stay in touch with the ministry. In case they kick me off YouTube, I'm going to stream live on sermon audio. And I want you to be able to stay in touch with me. And I'll be live there the same times I am here. So let's get that. There's 70 people on. Let's get those thumbs up all the way up to 70. That would be good. All right, I'm going to keep going. Dismiss every clever or subtle thought, no matter how holy or valuable. So Bible says to think on holy things. What's this guy telling you to do? Don't think on holy things. It's almost like the, well, it is. It's absolute rebellion to God. So they're telling you to rebel against God. Don't think on holy things. Think on nothing. Boy, that prayer service must be awful scary. Wherever those take place. Dismiss every clever or subtle thought, no matter how holy or valuable. Cover it over with a thick cloud of forgetting, because in this life, only love can touch God, as he is in himself, never knowledge. That is a lie. God is truth. God is love. God is knowledge. God is wisdom. God is holiness. So then you must reject all clear conceptualizations whenever they arise, as they inevitably will during the blind work of contemplative love. Reject all clear ideas, however pious or delightful. The Book of Privy Counseling, written by the author of The Cloud of Unknowing, says this: reject all thoughts, be they good or be they evil. A mantra, they say, is the key to entering the non-thinking mode. The practitioner is taught to choose a sacred word such as love or God and repeat it until the mind is emptied and carried away into a non-thinking communion with God at the center of one's being. The little word is used in order to sweep all images and thoughts from the mind, leaving it free to love with the blind stirring that stretches out toward God. The practitioner is taught that he must not think on the meaning of the word. Choose a short word, one-syllable word, such as God or love is best, then fix it in your mind so that it will be your desire in conflict and in peace. Use it to beat upon the cloud of darkness above you and subdue all distractions, consigning them to the cloud of forgetting beneath you. If your mind begins to intellectualize over the meaning and connotations of this little word, remind yourself that its value lies in its simplicity. Do this, and I assure you, these thoughts will vanish. What are they going to be replaced with? What are they going to be replaced with? Right? They're going to be replaced with the devil filling your mind up with images and visions and everything else. That's dangerous, friend. That's absolutely dangerous spiritually. To attempt to achieve a mindless mystical condition through a mantra can produce a hypnotic state and open one to demonic activity. Even if you don't consciously try to lose the meaning of the word, it quickly becomes lost to the mind. Ray Youngen, who has done extensive and excellent research into the New Age, he explains it this way. He says, when a word or a phrase is repeated over and over, after just a few repetitions, those words lose their meaning and become just sounds. After three or four times, the word can begin to lose its meaning. And if its repeating of the words were continued, normal thought processes could be blocked, making it possible to enter an altered state of consciousness because of the hypnotic effect that begins to take place. It really makes no difference whether the words are, you are my God, or I am calm. The result of the same effect. Now let's stop there and have a little discussion, shall we, about that? Because you have a bunch of CCM words that repeat the same thing over and over and over again. And pretty soon your mind gets into a hypnotic state. And where does it go? Into unconsciousness. And what will that lead to? Devils. Demonic activity. That's what happens. That's what happens. That's right. That's why repeating the name Jesus over and over again is a chant, is wrong. It makes the name meaningless. You ever see those people do it? Jesus, Jesus. I'm not going to do it that many times because it's just weird. But that's what they do. That's what the charismatics do. That's exactly what they do. Right. It's a mantra. God's not going to hear them. God said, they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, their vain repetitions. Be not as the heathen. Do not as the heathen do. Vain babblings. Right? The Bible warns us against such things, to turn away. All right, good. So we'll break just a few minutes here with this, and then we'll get back into it. But don't forget to send me your email address, all right? I want to keep up to date on that. I know I keep being a vain repetition with that maybe, but I want you to send me that so I can, if you really do value this broadcast and you want to hear from us, I want to keep you up to date, all right? And so PastorCooley@iCloud.com, send me your email address. I'll add it to the list. I'll add it to our, we're developing some things on our website right now, and that you'll be able to keep in touch with us. If they kick me off YouTube, I'll be able to continue to broadcast on sermonaudio.com/PastorCooley. And that'll be good for all of us. Amen. So just make sure that you do that and that you thumbs up this video as well. There's, let's see, we got 53 that thumbs up and 74 on right now. So keep doing that. That'll be good. And it'll be blessed. Amen. Yeah. And tell us where you're watching from too, if you would. That's a good idea, Luke, that we know where you're watching from. So we can keep in touch with you and find out just where everybody's at. Amen. Glacier National Park. Hey, that sounds cool. Yeah, amen. Montana. Watching from Atlanta, Georgia. Savannah, Georgia. All right. Lots of Georgia people there, huh? I preached in Georgia one time. I preached in Atlanta one time. All right. Queensland, Australia. It's winter, but it's beautifully warm. Hey, Nat, what's the temperature there in Australia right now? I'm just curious where you're at. Joe McDonald in Dublin, Ireland. Joe, I got to tell you something. Maybe I'm wrong. Do they play bagpipes in Ireland all the time? Or is that Scotland, or is it both? That's what I want to know. Let's see. Northern California. Atlanta, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Canada listens to a lot of our sermons on sermonaudio.com. We have a lot in Canada. Hey, that sounds great. I don't know when I'll ever make it back there. Georgia, May, Jones, West Virginia, Scotland. Is it Scotland? Do they not do in Ireland and Scotland? I don't know. I was curious about that. Watching from the heart of the fathers will in truth and love. I don't know what that is. Mostly Scotland, haha. Oh, really? I love the bagpipes. I like them. Faribault, Minnesota. Little Somalia. 5:30 a.m. It is 87% humidity. 69 degrees. Wow. The light backer, one, you're tempted to quit. Everybody's tempted to quit every day. That's what happens to us multiple times a day. That's the temptation. But you know what? God says not to. So we press on, we press on, we press on. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? We're pressing on the upward way. That's what we have to do. We have to keep pressing. Can't give up. Can't give up. Can't give in. Can't stop. Got to keep going for the Lord. Right? That's what God's called us to do, to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life and keep fighting, keep struggling, keep battling through. Amen. Sure it is. But it's not right. So we press on. Amen. We press on. That's what we do. That's what we must do. That's right. Press toward the mark for the... By the way, the key to despair and discouragement And the key to all those things, Paul talks about, it's pressing on, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before. Have to. It's what God's called us to do. Be valiant, be strong and courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Felicia in Florida. All right. Carl Winters is from Parts Unknown. Martin. That's right. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Man, 2 hours goes by fast. I got to get teaching again. I can't believe it. It just goes so fast. It's already 10 after 3 almost. Oh, no, it's 3:05. Okay. My clock's fast. Somebody set my clock fast. They must be trying to get out of church quicker. Amen. All right. Well, remember, so like, thumbs up this video, and PastorCooley at iCloud.com. Send me your email so you can keep in touch with us on updates that we do for the ministry, on some live things that we do on the street. I'll be going live on the street this Saturday at the Pride event. So that'll be interesting. So you pray for us as we do that, as we serve the Lord, as we preach the gospels, we hand out gospel tracts, as we print the gospel tracts and send them out. By the way, our gospel tracts are available on our website. You can download our gospel tracts, take them to a printer, have them printed out, and use them too as well if you'd like. So, all right. So you remember that. I appreciate the prayers for everything. I really do. It is a snake pit. It's wicked. But somebody's got to tell them. If not us, who? If not now, when? Right? When? If we don't do it, who's going to do it? If not now, then who will? When will they? When is the time, right? Now is the time. All right? Now is the time, beloved. All right, let's get back into our study here. I'm looking forward to the changes that we're going to make to this format as soon as we get going on it. So you just have to pray for me to patiently wait for all those things, and because I'm looking forward to doing a lot about that. All right. Sounds good, Andrea. I hope you can catch the latter half of it when it goes online here today. Have a good day. All right, let's get back into our study here. Catholic contemplative master Anthony de Mello, he agrees. He says a Jesuit friend who loves to dabble in such things assures me that through constantly saying to him 1, 2, 3, 4 rhythmically, he achieves the same mystical result that his more religious confers claim to achieve through the devout and rhythmical reciting of some other prayers. And I believe him. Centering prayer is so similar to the mystical practice of pagan religions that they recognize it as their own. In his introduction to his edition, A Cloud of Unknowing, William Johnson says that the Catholic author of this 14th century work speaks a language that Buddhists understand. Now, why is that? Because they have the same spirit as Buddhists. Practitioners of Eastern religions recognize the power of the mantra in entering the meditative state. Hindu gurus say one thorn is removed by another. They're referring to the fact that since the mind must be occupied with something, one word or thought can be used to drive away all others. Deepak Chopra, New Age Hindu, who believes in the divinity of man, recommends The Cloud of Unknowing. How do all these people recommend this book? Because they're all a bunch of witches, including the Catholics, especially these Catholic papal and upper echelons, not the people themselves. They don't have a clue. There is no doubt that people resist the whole notion of God being an inner phenomenon, yet its importance is stated eloquently in the medieval document known as the Cloud of Unknowing. Written anonymously in the 14th century, the writer informs us that any thought in the mind separates us from God because thought sheds light on its object. Even though the Cloud of Unknowing baffles us, it is actually closer to God than even a thought about God and his marvelous creation. We are advised to go into a cloud of forgetting about anything other than the silence of the inner world. For centuries, this document has seemed utterly mystical, but it makes perfect sense once we realize that the restful awareness, response, which contains no thoughts, is being advocated. It's wicked. Our writer equates it with knowing something that doesn't have to be studied. The mind is full of a kind of knowing what could speak, that could speak to us about anything, yet it has no words. Therefore, we seek this knowingness in the background. That's what Chopra said. It's wicked. This Hindu says that to approach God through a mindless cloud of unknowing makes perfect sense. And well, it should to him, because that is the standard of all Hindu practice. But this should be a loud warning to those who believe in the God of the Bible. It should be a warning that Catholic contemplative prayer is not Christian prayer. It's New Age mysticism, which is old Babylonian wickedness. In this same book, Chopra says, I believe that God has to be known by looking in the mirror. That's awful. God is not known by you looking in the mirror. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It is looking unto Jesus, looking in the eyes of Jesus, that we know who God is, who is the express image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, right? That's what the Bible says. All things were created. People want God to be in their image. Does anybody know who the God is that is going to come that's going to be made in man's image? Who is that? And they're going to worship him? Anybody know? That's right. The Antichrist. The image of the beast. And all the world wondered after the beast. That's right. All the world wondered after the beast. They're all going to follow the beast, and they're going to make the image. Let's go to Revelation. Come on, let's do it. Revelation 13, we got to go there. Oh, my. We have to go there. Look, I can't be on here for 3 hours, so I got to get moving here. But Revelation chapter 13, we got to go there, don't we? I don't know how we can't. We have to, right? All right. And they worshiped the dragon, verse number 4, which gave power unto the beast, and worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 4 and 2 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. They're going to worship the beast. Let's see, what verse is that exactly? Here we go. And he doeth great wonders. Verse number 13, that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. They're going to make an image to the beast, to the Antichrist. They're going to make a god in their own image.
He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's what they're going to do. They want a God in their image. They don't want the God of the Bible. They don't want the God of the Bible. They want a God in their own image, after their own likeness. All right, let's continue on here. Thus Chopra, he says that I believe that God has to be known by looking in the mirror. Thus Chopra describing meditative methods whereby the individual can allegedly come into contact with his higher self or divinity. Yet he is using Catholic mysticism to get there. That the same manual, Cloud of Unknowing, is also popular with contemplative evangelicals and Southern Baptists, and that they teach the same techniques as this New Age Hindu guru, is a loud warning to those who have ears. Richard Foster again says, Christian meditation is an attempt to empty the mind in order to fill it. We must be willing to go down into the recreating silences, he says. He says, the goal of contemplative prayer is a pure relationship where we see nothing. The result of centering prayer is supposed to be mystical knowledge obtained through communion with God in one's being. For in this darkness, we experience an intuitive understanding of everything material and spiritual without giving special attention to anything in particular. If that don't sound like a bunch of nonsense, sounds nuts. It is the great falling away, but it has to come. Remember, the falling away has to come. Why? For the man of sin to be revealed. So what are they doing? They're bringing on and ushering in the falling away to reveal the image of the beast, to reveal him. So he comes. And so the beast, so the Antichrist, the man of sin, can come on the scene and be prepared. That's why. Has to happen first. Right? There's more crazy insights that they talk about here. Contemplative mystics claim that the centering power is based on the example of Mary in Luke 10:38. Let's go there, shall we? Luke 10:38. They're taking a story out of context. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Well, that doesn't sound like contemplative mystical prayer. Mary turned to Jesus. Listen to what Deepak says here, what the Cloud of Unknowing says here. Mary turned Jesus with all the love of her heart, unmoved by what she saw or heard spoken and done about her. She sat there in perfect stillness with her heart's secret, joyous love intent upon that cloud of unknowing between her and her God. Jesus is present. He is the divine center to which Mary's love is directed. But she has no regard for clear-cut images of his beautiful mortal body. No ears for the sweetness of his human voice. She has gone beyond all that to a deeper knowledge, a deeper love, and a deeper beauty. I don't think that's what happened there. I don't think that's what happened there at all. In fact, they completely read that into that story. Did you see how they completely read that into that story? Why? Because they're too busy running with their little wicked imaginations. That's why. And they imagined a whole lot of weird stuff. We haven't even got to the imagination yet. Let me see if I can get through this one here. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. First verses are Hebrews chapter 1. But this whole thing is an example of how contemplatives twist the scriptures. In reality, Mary was not practicing mystical contemplative prayer. She did not empty her mind. She was not going beyond words to some sort of deeper knowledge. She just sat there and listened to Christ. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was not trying to achieve some union with God through mystical means. She knew the Son of God was right there in human flesh before her. She didn't have to know anything beyond that, beyond him. To know Christ is to know God. Rather than a cloud of knowing, Mary had perfect revelation in the person of Jesus Christ. Centering prayer is a blind leap into the dark. It's twisted. That's what it is. Now, if centering prayer was not bad enough, okay? If it was not bad enough, which it is, okay? Then this next one is even worse. All right? Because the next one we're going to talk about is the imagination, visualization, or imaginative prayer. That's the next one. And what you know, we've got to start with the Jesuit priest, Anthony de Mello. Visualization or imaginative prayer is becoming popular throughout evangelical circles. The Jesuit priest, Anthony de Mello, calls it fantasy prayer and says that many of the Catholic saints practiced it. Sadhana, A Way to God, page 79, 82, and 93. So he says that. Francis of Assisi, the big sissy, imagined taking Jesus down from the cross. Anthony of Padua imagined holding the baby Jesus in his arms and talking with him. Teresa of Avila imagined herself with Jesus in his agony in the garden. This type of thing is an integral part of the spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola. The practitioner is instructed to walk into biblical and extra-biblical historical scenes through the imagination and bring the scenes to life by applying all of the senses, seeing the events, hearing what people are saying, smelling, tasting, and touching, all within the realms of pure imagination. The visualizing prayer practitioner is even taught to insert himself into the scene, talking to the biblical characters and serving them. Ignatius Loyola, that wicked father of the Jesuits, encourages practitioners, for example, to imagine themselves present at Jesus' birth. Here's what he said in Spiritual Exercises. Imagine Christ our Lord present before you upon the cross and begin to speak with him. Here it will be to see in imagination the length, the breadth, and the depth of hell, to see in imagination the vast fires and the souls enclosed, to hear the wailing with the sense of smell, to perceive the smoke, to taste the bitterness, to touch the flames. I will see and consider the three divine persons seated on the royal dais or the throne of the divine majesty. I will see Our Lady, capital L-A-D-Y, and the angels saluting her. I will see Our Lady, Saint Joseph the maid, and the child Jesus after his birth. I will make myself a poor little unworthy slave, and as though present, look upon them, contemplate them, and serve them. While one is eating, let him imagine he sees Christ, our Lord, and his disciples at the table, and consider how he eats and drinks, how he looks, and how he speaks, and then strive to imitate him. Methinks their imagination has gotten the best of them. Methinks old Ignatius Loyola was a devil and had many devils. Right? I want to show you something what the Bible says.
about imaginations. The Bible talks about a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. 2 Corinthians says to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. No, empty your mind so you can feel God. No, I'm not to do that. I'm to cast down my imagination when it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, the clear written word of God and the knowledge of God. I'm to cast down those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ, right? The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. He says in Deuteronomy 29:19, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart. God says in Deuteronomy 31:2, for I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land, which I swear. Right? God knows it. God says this, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither in Jeremiah 3:17. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart. Here's another one. Jeremiah 7:24. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward. Right? They're following their imagination of their heart. Ignatius Loyola said, use the imagination of your heart. Use your imaginations. Follow your imaginations. Yet they obeyed not, Jeremiah 11:8, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their own heart. Therefore will I bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do. But they did them not. Jeremiah 13:10, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. God says he's going to give them what they want. Right? Oh, you want to walk after the imagination of your own heart? Okay. Well, I'm going to give you that God you want. I'm going to allow you. I'm going to give you over to that God you want. Don't believe me? Okay. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Says here, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They wouldn't accept the God of the Bible. So what's it say? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Right? Yep. That's what they had. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God says, okay, you want it? Okay, I'll give it to you. You can have it. You want that God that you formed? Okay. You're going to get him. You ain't going to like him after you get him. What's that a picture of? What else pictured that? Saul. Give us a king. What did God say? I'm your king. You don't need another king. Nope, give us a king. Samuel, give us a king. give them what they want. So God anointed Saul with a vial, not with a horn. God anointed David with a horn. God anointed Saul with a vial. Saul was a reflection of what the people wanted, and they got it. And they didn't like it after they were, it was bad for him after he got him. After they got him. Okay, let's move on here. Thomas Merton gave an example of visualization prayer in his book, Spiritual Direction and Meditation. He suggested that the individual use this technique to communicate with the infant Jesus in his nativity. In simple terms, the nativity of Christ, the Lord in Bethlehem, is not just something that I make present by fantasy. Since he is the eternal word of God, before whom the time is entirely and simultaneously present, the child born at Bethlehem sees me here and now. That is to say, I am present to his mind then. It follows that I can speak to him as to one present not only in fantasy, but in actual reality. The spiritual contact with the Lord is the real purpose of meditation. Ugh. Merton claims this type of thing is not fantasy, but it is nothing other than fantasy, says David Cloud. It is true that Christ is eternal, but nowhere are we taught by the Lord or his apostles and prophets that we should try to imagine such a conversation. So old Richard Foster, that big old Quaker heretic, what's he say? Imagination opens the door to faith. If we can see in our mind's eye that shattered marriage, we talked about this, whole or a sick person, well, it's only a short step to believing it. He, remember that story about his... Remember that weird story, the creepy story about the four-year-old boy that he sits down with? You know? Remember that? But this is not biblical prayer. It's occultism. The new thought practitioners and new agers have practiced this type of thing for a century. Biblical prayer is not the attempt to accomplish something through the power of our mind. It is simply talking to God and asking him to accomplish things. And there's a difference. Visualization prayer has become very popular within the modern contemplative movement, but it's heretical. Now, I'm going to give you five reasons why it's heretical. All right. And they're good. And David Cloud records these in Contemplative Mysticism, which is a book that he offers free. And I want to show you why this is not biblical. All right. Why this visualization prayer is not according to God's holy word. All right. Number one. Visualization prayer is disobedience. The Bible contains everything we need for faith and practice. It is able to make the man of God perfect, truly furnished into all good works. The Bible contains everything we need in order to learn to pray correctly, and it says nothing whatsoever about imaginative prayer. This is not the type of prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 15, Jesus teaches us how to pray. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." He did not teach them visualization. He taught them what to ask for, how to ask for it, what they should include in their prayers. Second, visualization prayer is vain and foolish because it is pure fantasy. We can't imagine Jesus' birth beyond the simple facts described in Scripture. We don't know what Mary or Joseph or baby Jesus or the room or the manger, the angels or the shepherds or the wise men look like. We don't know what they said to one another. We don't know the air temperature or the exact smells and tastes. If I try to imagine such things, I'm entering in the realm of vain fantasy. Third, visualization prayer is not faith. Faith is not based on my imagination. It is based on Scripture. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So neither can my imagination, if it starts to run wild, take away my true Bible faith. Right? Thank God. All right?
God has given us everything we need in Scripture, and our part is to believe what God says. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20, verse 31. We have everything we need to know about Christ for the present time in the Scriptures, and we accept it by faith. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8. Fourth, visualization prayer is presumptuous because it goes beyond divine revelation. When your imagination goes beyond what God's word says, cast it down. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. But by going beyond what the Bible says and trying to delve into history through the imagination, I am leaving the revealed things and entering into the secret things. Fifth, visualization prayer is dangerous. It is dangerous because it adds to Scripture. If I get in the habit of visualizing Bible scenes, I can easily think that my visualizations are authoritative. Who does that? Like the extra biblical revelations that Rome does, that the charismatic movement does? It's dangerous because demonic entities can involve themselves in my vain imaginings. Satan influenced Peter's thinking in Matthew 16:22, and he can certainly influence mine if I venture into the forbidden. What happened with Peter? Peter, he was telling the Lord that, Lord, no, be it far from thee, Lord, you're not going to die and go to the cross. Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, why did he say that? Well, he said, get thee behind me because Peter was telling him something against the word of God, against clear revelation from God. And God said that that's wrong. Consider an example given by the emerging church leader, Tony Jones, in his book, The Sacred Way. Now, we're going to get into some weird illustrations here of what happened. My friend Mike King made John 1, 37 to 39 the focus of contemplative practice at a spiritual retreat. While practicing the Ignatian exercise of imaginative prayer, he put himself into the biblical scene. He imagined himself sitting around John's breakfast fire with the disciples, listening as they carried on an imaginative conversation. He imagined seeing Jesus approach and embrace John. He imagined hearing them tell stories of their childhood. He imagined them laughing. Then he imagined Jesus getting up and leaving with John's two disciples following. He imagined them walking into the desert and coming to a clearing. Then suddenly, the imagined Jesus turned around and began interacting with him. I'm going to stop there for a second and say, right about there, I'd be freaked out. I'd be like, whoa! He said this, when Jesus turned around, the two disciples of John, whom I was following, parted like the Red Sea, and Jesus came right up to me face to face. Jesus looked past my eyes into my heart and soul. Mike, what do you want? I fell at the feet of Jesus and wept, pouring my heart out. Now notice that this imaginative prayer practitioner feels at liberty to go far beyond the words of Scripture to fantasize about this passage, creating a purely fictional scene. And observe that this Jesus that he imagines, which is certainly not the Jesus of the Bible, because we don't know what Jesus looks like, and nowhere are we instructed to imagine seeing him, he takes on a life of its own and interacts with him. This is either pure mental fiction and therefore absolutely meaningless, or does a demonic visitation akin to a visitation of Mary, a vision of Mary? King said that he was powerfully affected by this imagined event. That day changed me profoundly and is something I will have for the rest of my life. For Jesus said, come and you will see. He thus pretends that Jesus actually said this directly to him, when in fact he only imagined it in his purely fictional sense. What an incredible delusion. What did God say that he would send them? Strong delusion. But what did this guy just say? Now, do I believe that he really saw Jesus and did that Jesus really turn around and speak to him? Yes. It wasn't the Jesus of the Bible.
It was another Jesus, another gospel. Mm-hmm. And yes, he did visit him. And yes, he did talk to him and have a conversation with him. Of course he did. Signs and lying wonders is what the Bible talks about, which will be in the end times. Signs and lying wonders. Yep. They're going to believe the lie. They're going to believe the other Jesus. If that story that I just gave you, that demonic visitation, wasn't spooky enough, here's the next one. Following is an example from Youth Specialties, a large evangelical youth ministry. They encourage young people to imagine a conversation with Jesus along the following line. It's a normal day like any other. You're busy doing what you do. But as you go about your daily routine, you sense someone wanting to spend time with you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to be with him. You definitely recognize his voice, but it's been a while since you've spent any real time together. Doesn't he know how busy your life can be? After all, you've been busy doing what you do. He sits there, hunkered down in the corner of your room, waiting for you. He's certainly not pushing himself on you, but you can definitely tell he longs to spend some time with you. You can tell that you don't think you'll have time to meet with him today as you head out the door. When you get back from your day, he's there again waiting for you. He smiles at you as you come in the door and asks you how your day has been. He invites you to sit down and rest for a while. You can tell he wants to hear about your day and everything else you've got going on in your life. He seems very proud of you, of who you are becoming. He asks you about what seems to be pressing in on you and weighing you down. You can tell he genuinely cares about you. He wants what's best for you, so you finally decide to sit down for a few minutes to talk with him. You start by telling him that you can't talk long because you still have a lot to do before bedtime. But after a few minutes of talking together, your whole world and all the worries of your day seems to simply melt away. You haven't felt this relaxed in a long time. You find yourself pouring your heart out to him. And then he looks you right in the eyes and tells you how proud he is of you. He tells you how much he loves you and enjoys spending time together. At that moment, you realize this friend who has been waiting to talk with you day after day is Jesus. He has never made you feel guilty about blowing him off day after day. He looks at you and smiles. It's at that moment that you can tell for the first time in your life that you have a true friend who cares about you for who you are. The time seems to fly by as you continue talking together late into the night. That's from Something for Your Heart, Guided Meditation, Youth Specialties. Student newsletter. Okay, now I'm going to get into that, but that right there is creepy. If you got dudes in your room that are hanging out there, like spiritual things hanging out there, those are devils. Those are devils. Listen to what David Cloud's reaction is. This is heretical foolishness. The Lord Jesus Christ is not hunkering down in someone's bedroom. He is enthroned in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He is not a non-judgmental big buddy who exists to build up my self-esteem. That's funny. Oh, I've heard David Cloud preach a few times, and that I could just see him sitting in front of a crowd saying that. It's hilarious. He is the Lord of glory. He is exceedingly kind and compassionate, but he does not exist to pamper me. I exist to glorify him. Revelation 4:11, that we were created to glorify him. Observe that this guided meditation mentions nothing about the confession of sin or repentance from sin, nothing about the necessity of obedience and walking in fellowship with the Lord and the fear of God and separation from evil in order to maintain fellowship with Christ. The Bible says this, though, in 1 John 1, 6-9. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Calvin Miller claims that the imagination stands at the front of our relationship with Christ. He said, I drank the glory of Christ's hazel eyes, his auburn hair. What? You disagree? His hair is black? His eyes are brown? Then have it your way. Wait a minute, stop. Is that Burger King? Have it your way. His image must be real to you as it to me, even if our images differ. The key to vitality, however, is the image. Each individual can therefore have the Christ of his own making through the amazing power of his imagination. There's other types of prayer and other types of things we'll get into the next broadcast that we do in these New Age mystical practices. But listen to what they said about Jesus. You can have the Jesus that you want. You don't believe he has black hair? Well, he can have whatever hair, color hair you want. Doesn't that sound like the Antichrist? Doesn't that sound like what the Antichrist is going to offer the world with the mark of the beast? Doesn't that show you how all of the religions are going to come together besides biblical Christianity? All of them are going to apostatize, and they're going to look to this man of sin, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan, that he's going to be whatever God you want him to be. That's what he's going to be. Isn't that what that is teaching there? I believe so. I believe that's exactly what that's teaching. But the Bible says to cast down imaginations that Jesus is described in the Word. That's what we're supposed to do. That's who we're supposed to follow. All right. Well, it is 3:46. We have about 14 minutes. Does anybody have any questions about anything? Because I'm done with what I'm going to teach today. As far as that goes, let me, while waiting for a question here, let me say this. Thumbs up the video. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. Share it on Instagram. Share it everywhere. All right? And send me your email address to PastorCooley@Yahoo.com. Not Yahoo. Don't send it there. I don't have that email address. PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Send it to me there, okay, with your email address so you can keep up to date. So in case we get kicked off of YouTube, we can stream live on Sermon Audio. And we will just pick up where we left off, wherever we are. And you can keep in touch with ministry things that we have going on. Yeah, I've heard of Mac Woody. Living Word Christian Center. Yeah, I know who that is. He's a... Yep. All while making tortillas for beef enchiladas using leftover beef roast. Look, Rain Country, you don't have to make me hungry while I'm trying to do this here. But anyway, send your email to us, so make sure we have it, okay? Because I want to keep in touch with everybody. There's 1,000 people that view these videos on average. So after a couple days, they hit about 1,000, which is a blessing. That's really, that's a blessing. And I want to get those people, you know, all your email addresses to keep in touch so you can follow me along, if they do pull me off of this platform. All right. That you're able to continue to follow us. What's your opinion on being slain in the spirit? Well, being slain in the spirit is falling backward. Falling backward is the apostasy. It's a picture of the falling away. Those people are slain by another spirit. It's a spirit, the Kundalini spirit, many others, Hindus, a lot of them do that. It's very evil, very wicked. And I believe that those people are being... Some people have given testimony that they've actually, some people have given testimony that they actually felt electricity go through their body. Okay? They've actually felt it go through. when they're slain in the spirit like that. They felt this electricity. So very dangerous. And I will tell you this, and I'm not being unkind, but I want to warn you something. And please listen to me on this. I have seen a lot of women and people come from that charismatic movement. They try to come out of that, but they never really come all the way out of that. And that spirit stays with them. And they come over to Baptist churches or churches like that, and they can't shake those charismatic doctrines. They veil them and they hide them, but they still got them. I've seen them. They got that charismatic stuff in them, whether it's the sinless perfectionism that they believe in, whether it's whether they use head coverings as a way to cover up for them being an immodest woman in other ways. I don't mean clothes wise. I mean, just not being submissive to their husbands or anything like that. I've seen them use it in a number of different ways. I've seen it in the Jezebel spirit, the bold spirit to speak out against men, all of it. I've watched it. I'm telling you, once they get that charismania in them, I rarely see women and men delivered from that. I rarely do, honestly. You know, I rarely do. So I pray and hope that they do, but it's been my experience that most of them don't. And if they come to our church from any charismatic church, I always tell them, you got to be scripturally water baptized in this church to become a member of this church, because I do not accept a water baptism from charismatics, from Protestant churches, and from all that. I won't do that because I don't want that spirit in. I don't want that same spirit and that their baptism and all their other stuff. I don't want anything to do with them. I've had people come here and they got baptized by a woman and they said, well, I got baptized. No, you didn't. There ain't no women in the Bible that baptize. So anyway, that makes me a lot of friends and all that good stuff. But it's true. It's a different spirit. And I've just seen it. I've had it around me for 2 or 3 years. I've had closet charismatics in this church for years and didn't even know it until later. So it happens. It happens. They can't shake those devils. Most of them aren't ever saved. They're never really converted. They have this strict, stringent, where they try to follow the law even with it too. From like the holiness movement, they're into the crazy charismatic deliverance stuff. Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. Brandon, I'm not sure if he reports to the Jesuit General. I'm sure he probably does, but they've merged those two offices together. Awful interesting as they've done that. So, you know, we'll see how that goes with Francis. It concerns me that there's two popes and two Jesuit generals. It's really weird to me. But one, they're retired, but they're there. You know, anyway, is Francis really the Pope? Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah. Well, anyway, but the Bible deals with those things and tells us about that. So we have to be careful about that charismania and that charismatic movement and all that, because it's tied into the New Age. What they're doing is New Age. Exactly what it is. So it's very evident to see. So we have to do our best to combat that and keep that spirit far from us. Amen. All right. Well, you know, again, make sure you email me. Keep in touch with us. I think Twitter is a good notification system too, and I have to figure out how to use Twitter so people can notify. Manifestations don't happen to Christians unless they've been... Manifestations don't happen to Christians, really. I mean, there can be certain things that happen, attacks and things like that, but most of the time, devils are not going to manifest themselves to you as a Christian. It's not going to happen very often. It did happen to Martin Luther a few times, but he was in a war, and but it's not going to happen very often. It's certainly not going to happen a lot. But what about Hillsong holding RCC Mass? Well, Hillsong is an ecumenical, charismatic group that is merging the gap back to Rome. So the charismatic movement, contemporary Christian music, all of that was a bridge to Rome. The mysticism, all those things, all of it is a bridge to Rome. It's all meant to bring people into the fold. By the way, here's another one for you. Guess what? I believe that Paula White is the liaison between the Pope and Trump. Paula White was at the Vatican years ago. And Paula White, she slept with Benny Hinn. Obviously, she fornicated with him. She was over there. And now Paula White lays hands on Donald Trump. And she's his pastor. There's your direct link to the Pope, one of them. Especially that one. That's his pastor. And she was at the Vatican. Make the connection. Trump isn't listening to any Christians. He's listening to a bunch of false converts. Anyway, but so think about that. It makes perfect sense that that's exactly who they're connected to. It's not possible. It is. It's a direct connection. It's a direct connection to the Pope. She had an audience right with the Pope, her and Benny. And she has a direct audience with Trump as a spiritual advisor to Trump. So Trump is being advised by the Vatican religiously. The temporal powers, that's another story. There's other connections to the Jesuits. Yep. Isn't that interesting? Makes sense, though, because Donald is attracted to that that religious spirit. Donald is attracted to that prosperity gospel, those prosperity pimps, because of money. Yep. Exactly. Anyway, so interesting, right? I got caught up briefly in the charismatic movement shortly after I was saved. God led me to a Baptist church, and I praise him for it. That's good. Might be too long to answer, but if you know, Pastor, who started preterism? Well, preterism is an old teaching by Rome that does not believe in the kingdom of God coming, but that they already rule the kingdom of God. It was started by Rome. It's been around for a long time. The early Christians believed that Jesus was coming back again. Did you see the stupid article about Trump wanting his favorite book back in schools? The book is supposed to be the Bible, his favorite. Yeah, Rain Country, I know. The Bible's not Trump's favorite book. He said the Bible was a close... Didn't he say the Art of the Deal was a close second or something like that? I think so. I knew nothing of a church when I was saved because I wasn't raised in a Christian home, so I got involved in it ignorantly. Sure, Amy, I understand that. That's easy to happen. Absolutely easy. Remember Trump when he was running for election? The Bible, the Bible, the Bible! 2 Corinthians is a whole ball game. 2 Corinthians. Remember 2 Corinthians was the whole ball game? Everybody went gaga because he said Bible. Right? I remember that. Anyway, so no, Trump is not a Christian. We should pray for him, and I do, but he's not a Christian. Yep. Hillary is wicked. So is Trump. They're both wicked. I mean, Trump was married to, I mean, he was a playboy dude. I mean, he was a pervert. So anyway, that's not new. That stuff's not new. All right, we're about out of time here. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, hope you have a good day, and we'll be back on here again Wednesday, Lord willing, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. All right? And then on Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Friday's a different time. Friday, I might do some different things on that broadcast to make it a little bit different. So we'll see. We'll see what we do with that. But remember, send us your email address at pastorcooley@icloud.com so you can stay in touch with us in case I'm kicked off here, and you know, which could very well happen. So, but we will keep you up to date about things. We'll keep you up to date about it. We'll send blogs out and everything else to try to keep up to date with everything. But and pray for us. We've got the Pride event this week. Pray for us, the different things that we're doing, that we're working on, our projects to enhance this platform and to work on it to help others get the message out. Amen. So have a good night, and we will see you again, Lord willing, on Wednesday.